From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, presenting messages by Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series of studies in the life of Abraham, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, The Walk and Worship of a Man of God. From the text in Genesis chapter 12, verse 5 through chapter 13, verse 4, we learn that having finally resumed his journey to the Promised Land following a delay in Haran, Abraham and his company arrived in Canaan. Dr. Cairns has already emphasized the spiritual cost of the sojourn in Haran, no communion with God. Now, in the land of promise, Abraham's first act was to build an altar, the symbol of the cross. It's at the cross that communion with God is restored. Yet, when a famine came, Abraham forgot about God's promise and went down to Egypt. There he fell to lying and even to jeopardizing his wife's honor to save his own life. The cost of backsliding is enormous. In the mercy of God, Abraham was delivered and returned to the altar. Dr. Cairns will continue this message shortly. First, here is a devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is entitled, God's Enemies Shall Bow. The text is found in Exodus chapter 7 and verse 5. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. The ungodly world is hard to teach. Egypt does not know Jehovah, and therefore dares to set up its idols, and even ventures to ask, Who is the Lord? Yet the Lord means to break proud hearts, whether they will or not. When His judgments thunder over their heads, darken their skies, destroy their harvests, and slay their sons, they begin to discern somewhat of Jehovah's power. There will yet be such things done in the earth as shall bring skeptics to their knees. Let us not be dismayed because of their blasphemies, for the Lord can take care of His own name, and He will do so in a very effectual manner. The salvation of His own people was another potent means of making Egypt know that the God of Israel was Jehovah, the living and true God. No Israelite died by any one of the 10 plagues. None of the chosen seed were drowned in the Red Sea. Even so, the salvation of the elect and the sure glorification of all true believers will make the most obstinate of God's enemies acknowledge that Jehovah, He is the God. Oh, that His convincing power would go forth by His Holy Spirit in the preaching of the gospel, till all nations shall bow at the name of Jesus and call Him Lord. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We appreciate the letters, emails, and phone calls we've received from so many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word, some speaking of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the LTBS audio magazine. This is available in CD format only and is similar in content to the LTBS quarterly magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a free copy of LTBS audio magazine simply by writing to LTBS 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you might like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a new feature on the website. During recent months, Dr. Cairns has been receiving questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, are there true prophets in the church today? Or, why does God allow suffering? The LTBS radio website now contains video clips of Dr. Cairns providing answers to these and many other questions. These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Egypt, Abraham knew nothing but shame and failure. It's interesting that we read of the altar as soon as he entered into Canaan. The altar as he came near to Bethel. But as he journeyed down toward Egypt, there's not a word about an altar. Not a word about calling on God. Not a word or a sign of that close fellowship with his Lord. And not a glimmer of the light of that faith for which Abraham has justly become famous. No. In contrast, in Egypt, Abraham sank to lies. Now, he could temporize when he said, "This is my sister." She was, according to the most obvious reading of the text, his half-sister. Some commentators read the text a little differently. I think they are probably missing the sense, but they say actually she was the daughter of his brother or half-brother. Whichever way, she was his wife. It's true she was a near relative, but he was not saying that to be truthful. He was saying that to deny she is my wife. He sank to be a liar. Worse, he cravenly put his wife's honor in jeopardy. Sad to see a mighty man of God. And he's not a hero here at all. You read of the heroics of others who have put their lives in jeopardy to see of the honor of their wives and their daughters. Abraham was willing to sacrifice the honor of his wife to save his own measly little skin. It appears to me that Abraham knew very well before he ever went into Egypt that it was most probably going to involve him in compromise. That's why he had the story all set up. There is a thought among some that by that time in Egypt, the kings could very easily take any man's daughter they wished by any sort of command or violence, and it was their right. They couldn't, however, take a married man's wife, so the easy thing to do would be simply to get rid of him. With that fear, Abraham went on into Egypt, knowing, "I'm going to have to compromise here." And had the Lord not miraculously intervened to see of Sarah's honor, she would have been a concubine in the house of Pharaoh. When Abraham finally left Egypt, thrown out by Pharaoh without much ceremony and without much honor, he was in a sorry state. What would he do? What would he do? And that's when Abraham came back to his senses. Because we read in chapter 13 that he retraced the steps of his failure all the way back to Bethel, the house of God, all the way back to the place of the altar, where he had first called on God, and there again he called upon the name of the Lord. Abraham's wandering was over. In a way, you could say Abraham was home. It's a strange story. Suggestive story. It has much to teach us. Because I think every one of us can see a lot of ourselves in Abraham. Even as I have sketched this part of his life, you can see how true to life it is for you and me. At one time strong, sure-footed in his walk with God. The next moment, stumbling, falling, and failing. Tonight, I want us to look at this whole episode in Abraham's life. I want us to learn some very vital lessons about the walk and the worship of a man of God. I want to say four things about Abraham that will have very simple but serious application to ourselves. First, that Abraham believed God's promise. The end of verse 6, as I've emphasized, the Canaanite was then in the land, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Notice the conjunction of those two ideas. The Canaanite was in the land. God says, I'm giving this land to your seed, to a man who as yet didn't even have a son. I'm giving this land to your seed. And Abraham, accepting the word of God, don't read over this too quickly. Put yourself in Abraham's skin here for a moment. See how great this faith was. As I said, this man did not have a son. And yet God says, Abraham, look at this land. See the Canaanites in possession. I have given this land to your seed. It will be their land forever. And instead of arguing, well, Lord, I don't have a son. Lord, how can these things be? Abraham built an altar, and there he worshipped the Lord who appeared unto him. Abraham believed the promise of God. Now, to the human mind, it was mere wishful thinking for Abraham to imagine that he and his seed would inherit Canaan. If he had had 10 sons, 12 sons, like Jacob, it would still have been apparently wishful thinking that they could take over that whole land. But to have no sons and look at that land, it seemed the merest fantasy. Here was one man, childless, but with a small following. The Canaanites multiplied in numbers and in full possession. All Abraham had was God's promise. It's all he had. But it's all he needed. It's all he needed. He believed God. That's the first key to the walk of a man of God. The first key to living the Christian life. We have God's word. We have God's promise. What are we to do with God's word? Believe it. That's not what you're to do with God's word. We've got into the habit of arguing about it, using it to provide darts or bombs or bullets or hand grenades to throw at somebody in a different theological camp. But with all our arguing, how little we actually believe God's word. Believe it. That's what Abraham did. He had the promise. He accepted it. God always blesses that. Remember the case of the Virgin Mary? I think that Protestantism has done very ill by the Virgin Mary in our reaction to the idolatry of popery. The Virgin Mary and her great godliness have almost passed from the Protestant memory. Here's a young woman, probably still a teenage girl. The angel of the Lord appears to her. They said, you're going to bear a son without a human father. Now, hold a second. Mary knew that that was impossible. Humanly speaking, that couldn't happen. How can these things be, seeing I know not a man? There have been liars of so-called theologians who, in order to get around the miracle of the virgin birth, have simply made Mary a promiscuous young woman who happened to become with child because of living in sin with some Roman soldiers or German mercenaries. They're liars. They're liars. This young woman knew well what God was saying was a promise of the supernatural. But as the Lord spoke to her, she yielded her heart in full obedience to the Lord and listened to what God's blessing was upon her. Luke 1 and verse 45, blessed is she that believed. And what is the blessing upon the believer? Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Here's the blessing of believing God's promise. He'll fulfill His promise. He'll keep His word. That's the assurance that filled the heart of the Apostle Paul as he stood on the heaving deck of a sinking ship, caught in a mighty storm, tossed about like a cork on the great heaving tides and currents of the ocean, with the whole company facing death, and for almost 2 weeks living without food, they were so afraid. And Paul stands forth and he says, "My God stood by me. My God gave me a promise in the midst of all this darkness." And then, with the wind still howling in his face, with the waves still splashing their spray across the deck, Paul raised his voice to heaven and he said, "I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." I believe God. How did he live his life? You know, that whole experience on that sinking ship is, as it were, a cameo of the whole life of Paul. Paul's whole life and ministry were caught up in the tides of controversy. And there was always this tremendous conflict. He was faced day after day after day with apparent impossibility. And Paul lived his life standing forth saying, "I believe God." That's how he lived his life, by faith in the promise of Him who, according to the psalmist in Psalm 138 verse 2, has magnified His Word above all His name. What does that mean? It means that in His dealings with us, God has made His faithfulness to His Word the absolutely prominent mark of His character. He keeps His word. He never fails to do that. Abraham believed that.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.